The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show, your host, Brandon Tatum. Another disappointing day in the history of this country. And the reason why I say that this day is disappointing, because you see Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals alike, showing a clear display of stupidity and using all of the resources, mental faculties that they have to point the finger at something that is an illusion, in my opinion. The Democrats want gun control, want gun laws out the wazoo. And they never made sense. They know they don't make sense. Joe Biden is saying that the Second Amendment is not a fixed thing, that the Second Amendment is not absolute. And he could not be more wrong. They are attempting to make this 100% about politics. The Senate, or at least the Congress, want to take a vote on gun laws, knowing that it's not going to get anywhere, because they want politicians to be on the record for the midterms. These people are sickening. And, you know, there's a lot of context here that needs to be had so we can understand what's going on in the grand scheme of things. And I'm going to call out the idea on the conservative side that these responders, these officers that showed up at this Texas shooting were cowards. I'm just going to make this clear statement. If you do not know all of the information present and you weren't there, you don't have firsthand knowledge from somebody that was there, then you need to reserve your opinions about people being cowards or not. Being on a tactical SWAT team, myself, being a former police officer, there's a lot of nuances to responses to things like this, especially in Uvalde, Texas, where it's probably 16,000 people live in that city. They are not equipped for something like this. They are not. And when you have an emergency response, where you have agencies coming from all over the state, it is going to be chaotic, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, you have different agencies that are trained differently. They have different chain of commands. They don't even probably use the same police radio. They're not on the same frequency. They're showing up. Nobody knows what knowledge that this agency knows, that this agency knows. It can get extremely complicated. And there's articles out and people on the TV all day long saying that the shooter had been in the school for 40 minutes and the cops didn't do anything. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's highly unlikely that cops just didn't do nothing and sat around in the parking lot while kids are getting shot in the school. I highly doubt that. And my whole premise to you guys is that if it sounds juicy, if it sounds way too unbelievable, then slow down, do your research, and figure out what's really happening. Based on the knowledge that I have, and I have birdies that were there, that were a part of some of the tactical stuff, and there is a lot of information that we do not know, that the public do not know and do not understand. And when that information comes out and I can make it publicly available, you know, I'll tell you guys. But from what I've seen and what I've been able to gather, knowing tactical operations, it appears that this could have been treated more like a hostage situation than an active shooter situation. Or these agencies may have been forced to treat it that way because they did not have the equipment to combat what was going on in that school. And there's a lot of people, and I understand the sentiment. Of course, I understand it, especially from the parents. Your kid's in the school, you want to go home, grab your AR, and go to business and get to work. But there's also the component that people may not understand with a tactical response, is that if you have a gentleman, I say gentleman, you have a person that's in a hallway, obscured or protected, where you cannot see him clearly, and he's firing rounds at police officers through a hallway, and you don't have a clear shot, you cannot return fire. This is not the military. You can't have cover fire. You have to be mindful and knowledgeable of where your shots are going. And if this guy has an AR-15 and officers are only equipped with a handgun, they are outpowered. You can be heroic. You can be Rambo. You can do whatever you want. You run down a hallway, and in policing we call it the fatal funnel. You run down a hallway, and you can't see where the person is shooting at. They're going to drop you in the hallway, and you're going to become another casualty. You're going to become another person they have to rescue. It's not as simple as saying, the kids on the tech, run down the hallway and just blindly start firing your weapon and hoping that you hit the person that you think is got a gun. It's really not that simple, ladies and gentlemen. I wish that it was simple. I wish that a handgun could compete with an AR-15. I wish that the police officers had bulletproof vests that could take 5.56 rounds. They do not. That 5.56, 223 round, 7.62 will go through police body armor like paper. And so the tactical response to situations like this, unless you have a clear shot, unless you know exactly where the suspect is at, unless you know, it's very difficult to say just blindly run into a building. I wasn't there, so I can't say this situation is similar to the Parkland shooting. But I want the civilian population and people that are not familiar with these type of behaviors or these type of actions to take a step back and let the information come out, and then make a proper judgment on it. Because I've seen people all day long talking about these officers are cowards and you can't trust them. And, you know, I just don't like when I hear that, because I've been in these situations before, and it's very easy to Monday morning quarterback. It's very easy to say what you should have, would have, could have did. And especially if you've never been in a tactical situation, you've never been shot at, it's easy to say, I'll do this, boy, if it was me. Oh, but will you really do that? If push comes to shove, according to the information I have, when BORTAC and the tactical teams got there, they went to work. That's it. It was very difficult to get to the guy. He had barricaded himself in a room. I don't know if this is validated. I haven't been able to confirm, but they couldn't even get into the building. They couldn't even get into the room where he was in. They couldn't even advance unless they had shields, because the guy was firing rifle rounds. And it would have been no way in the world for them to combat that kind of firepower if it wasn't for them being able to have shields and BORTAC going in and heroic man took a shot to the head. I mean, they like they weren't getting shot. One of the officers took a shot to the head. It grazed him. One of the tactical guys, I believe, from BORTAC, and he ended up being the better man that day. He ended up landing the shots where they're supposed to be, and the shooter couldn't get out shots because they were behind shields. Outside of the shields, there would have been cops laying all up and down the hallway. But what do the Democrats want you to get out of this situation? The same Democrats that are saying defund the police, that we should not militarize the police, are now saying the police didn't do enough. Oh, the police should have been more equipped. You know, it's asinine to me that people have built their arguments over the dead bodies of young people to make a political statement. This should not even be a conversation had at this point about gun laws. At this point, these kids are barely getting, you know, probably getting taken from the morgue, and they already talking about laws without them confirming exactly what gun was used. They already telling you they should ban AR-15s. Which gun did he use, ladies and gentlemen? They believe he used a high-powered rifle. They don't know exactly what gun he used. They don't know if he had plate carriers in his body armor. They know he had, it appeared that he had tactical gear on, but they don't know if he had plate carriers in that. They don't know if he had rifle plates. on what ballistic grade of plates he had in his in the plate carrier. I mean, they have no idea about these things, but yet they come out in front of the world and make these incredible judgments. They want you to believe that this is about gun laws, gun legislation. Well, I would challenge anybody to answer this question for me. What gun law would have, what gun legislation that they have proposed that would have stopped this from happening? And if you say, well, if you couldn't buy a rifle when you were 18, what is going to prevent him from buying a stolen rifle? Then you go back and you say, what is going to prevent him if he was 21? He'll just wait to kill all these people when he's 21? You know, these laws are not going to stop people from acting out. We have to nip it in the bud early on. As parents, you have to raise your children right. When there's red flags, you have to turn these people in. FBI and some of these agencies need to learn how to do, well, need to be more effective at their job. You need more assistance for people who are struggling with mental health. That's how you're going to combat these things. But until then, you can load the school up with armed people to protect the children. You listen to The Austin Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, yours truly and MyPillow are offering a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select items. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 1-800-858-0263 or go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Tatum.
Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Well, first of all, my heart breaks for the parents whose hearts were broken last night. They're never going to be the same. What a tragic, a tragedy. But my heart, you know, one thing I want to talk about is the Border Patrol, right? The Border Patrol's had a tough year. They, you know, they get attacked and, you know, the administration has attacked the horse patrol and how they're doing their job. These men and women are working overtime 24/7 in the biggest crisis ever seen. But when they were needed, they didn't hesitate to go to that school and face the gunfire. Matter of fact, it's a Border Patrol agent that actually neutralized the subject. I'll say it again, like I always say on this network, the men and women of the Border Patrol are American heroes. And they're part of that community. People need to understand they're the part of the fabric of that community. Their kids went to that school. They go to church there. They go to grocery stores. They're part of it. They're just not Border Patrol agents enforcing immigration law. They're part of the community. I'm so proud of how many responded last night. They're the biggest law enforcement contingency there. Well, I want to say something that no one else is talking about. My heart breaks for the children and the families, but we got to remember the first responders. You know, people wonder why I get emotional on this network, and I get emotional when I testify in front of Congress because of the deaths I've seen in my career, including women and children. I held a dead child. I've held dying children. I've never been the same after that. And that's why I'm so emotional about this issue of securing the border and trying to save lives. These first responders are never going to be the same either. The men and women who responded and saw the carnage and saw what they saw, they are never going to be the same either. So this tragedy affected a lot of lives. And I hope some of the first responders will seek help, because when you see something like that and you deal with something like that, they will never, ever be the same. So I hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Holman is coming on at 4 o'clock. It's the top of the hour for people around the country. I don't know what time you're going to hear this. Top of the hour, Mr. Holman is going to come on, and we're going to have a conversation about this. But I want to give out a couple facts, a couple scenarios, and just to reiterate the point, I know some people that were there, and I've had communication with people that were there, some of which were a part of, you know, the situation, and they ain't never going to be the same. You can't go into a situation to see children in that condition and you recover from that. It's not going to happen. And so when our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of the lost loved ones, we should also pray for the first responders that had to see some of the things that they'll never, ever get out of their mind. That image will never disappear. But I want to give a little bit of comfort with some stats, because stats matter. Facts matter. And these lunatics on the left, they want to make this all a political thing, and they want to throw out lies and scare you and fearmonger. Now, if your child was a part of a shooting at a school, or your child was a part of a deadly mass shooting, numbers may not matter to you. It hurts. It feels like one is too many. But for the rest of the people that live in the United States of America, it is fair that you should not live in this endless fear that you can't even take your children to school. It's rational to feel that way when you see something like this happen. But when you look at the numbers, the fear is just not something that you should have if it's not put within context. According to the Associated Press, when it comes to school shootings, and I'm not sure if this is school shootings and mass shootings combined, but let's just leave it at school shootings alone. The Associated Press counts that it was 169 deaths related to school shootings in 23 years. And like I said, if your family was involved, that's 169 too many, especially when children are involved in that. And that's 7 deaths per year as an average in the 23-year record, compared to 43 per year for lightning strikes, 300 per year for people dying related to a toaster, 800 per year by bed sheets, and then 800,000 a year from abortions. So the reason I give these numbers is not to belittle or mitigate anything. I mean, you got to be in a bag smoking crack if you think somehow I'm downplaying this situation. But I just want you to know that your children losing their lives in a situation like this is less likely than getting struck by lightning. Also less likely than dying at the hands of a toaster. And even more unlikely, almost 800 times less likely, if my math is off a little bit, dying from, strangulation or suffocation within bed sheets. So there's a lot of facts here. And this is what I have to tell my son, is explain to him that this is a tragedy. I know that this may make you afraid, but when you look at the big picture and you look at the grand scheme of things, this is a very rare occurrence. I want to give some more numbers, and I'm going to read this directly because I think this is appropriate and relevant. The government data shows that around 54 million American children currently attend school. And that's somewhere between 3.4 million to 4.6 million children enter these schools each year. That's both public and private schools. And if we were to use 4 million as a rough number, if you take a look at the total number, you use 4 million students, you look at it over 23 years, you say that's 146 million children that have been enrolled in schools, 131,000 schools that they have attended. And these numbers, this number on this paper is not making sense to me. But when you look at it and you say there's millions of kids that go to school every year, if you break the numbers down, how many kids go to school per year, and you look at how many children have been shot, it is less likely for your child to be killed going into a school. Should you take precaution? Yes. Should you be alert? Yes. Should you be concerned about it? Why wouldn't you be? But if you are to think that the President of the United States should call an executive order for emergency because this is an epidemic, it's really not. When you look at other things that are considered epidemics or things that are considered acts of emergency. And let me say this one point, and then I'll get to some callers. We can do something about this. We can do something about this immediately. And you can still walk and chew gum at the same time. If people want to consider gun legislation that they believe can be effective, then you can consider that. You can negotiate that. The American people can vote on that. But when you are, you know, not even willing to say, let's secure our schools first, something we can do immediately, we could do right now. There's no need to have a congressional hearing over it. There's no need to take it to a vote. We could do it now. Why can't we do both? If the politicians are not out here saying that we can do both, then you know they're not acting in good faith. They are not acting in good faith. A true person can say, all right, we'll entertain the conversations. You put together a bill or legislation that you believe will be effective, we'll consider it. But until then, until you remove guns from every single person in the United States of America, let's secure these schools. Let's make sure our police officers are equipped to handle situations like this. We can do that today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on all the social media platforms at TheOfficerTatum.com. My YouTube is the biggest platform. I break down subject matter like this all the time, uncensored, unfettered, and I go hard. I'm not going to lie. So if you're interested, go ahead and follow me on those social media platforms. I got a special guest coming up, Tom Holman. Tom Holman has approximately 4 decades of law enforcement experience, including 35 years in immigration enforcement and border patrol, border security space. He's also featured, you guys know him, he's on Fox News, he's been all over television, one of the biggest voices pertaining to immigration, pertaining to law enforcement in the country. Give us, or help me, give Tom a warm welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. How you doing, Tom?
Well, thanks, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm very interested to hear your take on all of this stuff, man. With your law enforcement experience, I had 7 years on the police department, and you've had several decades on the police department. What's your take on this shooting? What do you think this means for Democrats and the left? And what tactical things do you believe could have been done differently based on the information that you have?
Well, I tell you, I did a Fox show today, and I got kind of irritated because right away, they're asking me about, you know, the New York Times and their story about, you know, did the officers move fast enough? Did they were outside too long? And, you know, I'm sick and tired of people that want to second-guess police officers when they're in the middle of a tragedy like this. Look, how many people at the New York Times are going to strap a gun through the hip and run into fire, run into gunfire, not run away from it, run towards it? So here's what I think. First of all, when we talk about schools, I've said this for the last 3 months. The schools need to be hardened. Look, we got armed officers protecting our banks, protecting our money. We got armed officers protecting politicians. We got armed officers, you know, at shopping malls and movie theaters. I don't think that we got the greatest trench on earth. You got a lot of retired police officers. You know, they're mandatory. Many departments like the feds were mandatory 57. I see a lot of retired federal agents I would love to keep doing something, but the rules prevent it. We got a lot of retired military that want to, you know, serve their community still. So I think there's enough retired police, retired military that would be glad to act as an armed school resource officer. And that does a lot of things. Number one, you know, a lot of high schools have them. I think it's time for elementary schools to have them. I think the parents would feel safer leaving the kids off at school. I think the kids would be safe. And I also think it'll help rebuild the relationships between the community and the police departments that the left, the progressives, have destroyed in the last 7 years by calling for defunding the police, you know, because of what happened in Ferguson, because you got one to two bad cops. They want to call the whole institution bad. And the police officers, in my opinion, I spent 35 years doing this. I think they're the finest 1% this country has. These are guys that jump a gun through the hip, go out there for very little money, and put their lives on the line for people many times they'll never even meet. So I think what happened is a tragedy in Uvalde. I think we need to harden our schools. I think we need to put armed resource officers in there, and that serves a lot of purposes. Like I said, protect the kids, make the parents feel good. We got, you know, we're a rich country. We can do this and help build the relationships between the community and the children. look, this new generation, there's a lot lack of respect for officers. And when these children grow up through second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade and see these heroes in their school to help them and protect them, I think it's going to, you know, build a brand new partnership between this new generation and policing. First of all, as far as the shooting itself, I was asked to give my opinion today. What did they wait too long? I don't know. I can tell you the Texas Rangers are doing an investigation on a timeline. We'll see what happens. But here's what I will say. I started as a police officer in New York. I became Border Patrol agent. I'm proud to be a Border Patrol. I defend the Border Patrol every day on network news. I think these men and women are heroes. This administration has thrown them under the bus. The President of the United States has abandoned them. The Secretary of Homeland Security has abandoned them. They're dealing with a crisis right now on the southern border like no other. This is a historic crisis on the border. Last year, historic illegal immigration. This year, they're on a scale to break it by 500,000 this year. It's another record year. But when it was time, when folks needed their help, when people were dying, and this tragedy occurred, these men and women in green didn't hesitate. Almost 80 officers in this Border Patrol deployed there within half hour to an hour. But I'm proud to say it's a BORTAC unit, highly trained Border Patrol unit, BORTAC. It's like a SWAT team for police departments. But they're probably the most highly trained officers I've ever met. I've done it for 35 years. Luckily, they were doing an operation not far from there, an anti-smuggling operation. They deployed and actually spoke to the officer that was involved in that. They went in that classroom. And you've been an officer before. They didn't know where in that classroom this gunman was, but they knew he was, killing children one at a time. So they busted that door, and not knowing where he was, this officer took two shots before he could, realize where the shot was coming from, identify where the bad guy is, and not hit the children still in the room. And he put two in him and dropped him. He was dead before he hit the ground. So today I get asked the question, do I think they reacted quick enough? Do I think law enforcement could have been quicker? And it just irritates me because let the investigation pan out. But here's what I will say. The officers that went in there and took fire and got shot, the one officer, the one bullet glanced his skull a half inch in the other direction. He's a dead man. He went in there, took fire, took two hits, and still dropped the man. So these are heroes, American heroes, are the finest, like I said, finest 1% this country has. And let me say one more thing about the Border Patrol. They take a lot of hate from the progressive left. They take out hate, they're racist. They treat these aliens with inhumanity. Let me tell you something, what they've proven, these men and women, they live in these communities, they go to the churches, they shop at the grocery stores. Their children, Border Patrol children, were in that school. So this is another example of this. These aren't the bad guys. These are our neighbors, our friends, their brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and they're heroes. The man that went in there and took this nut down, he's an American hero. We should honor him as that and not be questioned. Could he went in there faster? Should he got there quicker? I'm not going to play that game with anybody. And so that's what I got to say about it. I'm very proud. I was a Border Patrol agent. I tell you what, I was a Border Patrol agent. I was a police officer in New York, became a Border Patrol agent. I'll tell you right now. I'm a pretty damn good shot. I've been shooting for 34 years. I'm pretty damn good. But I wasn't good enough to join the BORTAC. I couldn't make that qualification. That's how good these guys are. Some of the finest marksmen in the world. Every year, there's a national pistol shoot every year in this country. It's a national pistol shoot. Any officer can join it for competition. Almost every year, several BORTAC officers walk away with a blue ribbon. So the right guys were in the right place at the right time. So I say God was looking out for some people that day.
Hey, man, y'all listening to Tom Holman. He's a Fox contributor, 4 decades almost of law enforcement experience. Like he said, he was a police officer, worked on the Border Patrol. And I can second what you said because I was on the Tucson SWAT team and some of the BORTAC guys went through our SWAT academy as training. This was our academy to join the SWAT team and they would go through the academy. And one of my friends, and his name was Venegas, and he was a little guy, but he was the baddest dude on planet Earth, man. And I tell you what, it's a blessing that BORTAC was able to show up there. It is a absolute blessing because I believe if they hadn't have shown up and some of those brave men that took those shots and went in there and executed the way they should have and eliminated the threat like they should have, we would have had a lot more children that would have lost their lives, probably even more teachers. So I thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you. Where can people find you? Are you on social media?
Let me add this, and you understand that you said you're involved with SWAT team. know, officers got shot. Some of the locals got shot because, look, they're local. They're a small department. They don't have the training BORTAC has or large SWAT teams have, right? It was a Border Patrol. When they're stacked up, you know what I mean by being stacked up? I talk to these guys. And when they're stacked up by years and years of training, we're able to take this guy down and they didn't lose their lives. Some of these local officers, God bless them, they still went in there. They took shots. They got hurt. But they just didn't have the training this unit did. And not all law enforcement has the same training. So, again, thank God a highly trained unit was nearby that was able to stop the death. If it wasn't for their actions, there would have been many more dying children.
Tom Holman, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. I got to have you back on the show again. I really appreciate your expertise and the way you laid it out perfectly. It's good to hear other men who have served and put that uniform on to talk about these things, because I have seen so many other individuals, even on our side, even on the conservative side, that have been running their mouths about what they should have, would have, couldn't have done. They have no idea what it's like to take gunfire. They have no idea what it's like to have training and tactics, and they were not at the school. They don't know how difficult it was to breach that front door, to get into the classroom, to pretty much be a clear shot when you have kids and teachers everywhere. So
they think they know everything. Well, you know what? Don't tell me. Show me. Strap up and go stay in the post.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys are listening to Tom Holman. This is the Officer Tatum Show. I'll catch you after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I love this song, Love and Happiness. And I wish that we could live in a place of love and happiness. I really wish that we can get back to having the Lord be the forefront of our lives in this country. Not just individuals. Y'all listening, probably most of y'all are Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But as a country, wouldn't it be beautiful if we could just have God at the forefront of our country again? We could pray over these politics. When the politicians are going to draft bills or whatever they do, they pray over it. Like, why can't we have a country like that? Why can't we pray in our schools? I'm sick of this. Anyway, let me not get worked up. I'm supposed to be in a Zen situation right now with love and happiness. But what's really making me even more upset, and the reason why I feel like we'll never get to love and happiness outside of, not retaining God in our consciousness or as a country, is that the sports world has failed us by and large. They have gone woke. I don't care about your politics. I don't care what the Arizona Cardinals think about Black Lives Matter. Throw the football to number 85 and him running the touchdown is all I'll care about. I want to see, did that guard pull like he was supposed to pull? Did he pick up the linebacker? And did the running back run through the hole like he was supposed to and score a touchdown? That's all I care about. That's all I care. I don't even watch basketball, so you basketball fans out there, I feel sorry for you. I'm assuming it's Stephen Curry. Did he hit the three or did he not hit the three? I don't care about all this social justice stuff. But they can never stop the social justice warrior mentality. Colin Kaepernick got a tryout, ladies and gentlemen. Don't wreck your car. Don't wreck your car.
Hold up.
Pull over. Don't wreck the car. Don't say B. Tatum call you wreck the car. Colin Kaepernick got a tryout with the Oakland Raiders. Colin Kaepernick is probably the trashiest quarterback to ever play in the NFL. He wasn't that good, ladies and gentlemen. He had one good year. He had talent. But everybody that watched football know that after they figured out your scheme, and if you cannot throw the ball from the pocket and you are not a thinker on your feet, you're not a leader on the team, you're not going to win games. He sucked. They put him on the bench. He got mad because a white guy took his spot. Because he'd been dating this black girl that pumped him up and made him grow an afro. And she got him thinking all black. So now he mad because the white man took his spot, so he want to take a knee and kneel for the national anthem to protest black and brown bodies. Bro, hold on. Colin Kaepernick, I hope Colin Kaepernick's listening. Where were you at in college? Where were you at when you first got in the NFL? Where were you at when y'all went to the Super Bowl? Where are you at in the offseason? Matter of fact, after you got kicked out of NFL, where have you been? And now all of a sudden you pop up, you want an opportunity. I want to get this very clear. I want us to have a clear statement on this. Colin Kaepernick opted out of his contract. They didn't kick him out of the NFL. He opted out of a contract. Then he had opportunities from other teams. He didn't feel like they were going to pay him enough to be a backup quarterback. So what did he do? He ousted himself out of the league. He sued the league. He won because, you know, they're wokey woke. He won. Then made a documentary comparing the NFL draft to slavery. You can't make this up. And then before he did the slavery thing, they gave him a tryout. He did the okie doke, end up an hour away from where they did the tryout because he's trying to, I don't know what he was trying to do, get leverage. That joker had plenty of opportunities. And now the Oakland Raiders are going to give him, not Oakland, they're not Oakland anymore, the Las Vegas Raiders, are going to try to give him an opportunity. I hope they lose every game this season. Now, my buddy back there to do all my videos, Nick, he's going to be mad at me for saying this. He's probably having a heart attack right now and thinking about quitting because he loved the Las Vegas Raiders. But even he could not sleep last night thinking about how ridiculous it was to give Colin Kaepernick a tryout. And even beyond that, you saw what Steve Kerr did. He get on there and cry like a beta. Come to find out, you know, and people say, you know, his father was killed through the gun violence. Not in America. So what is he talking about? Steve, we supposed to feel sorry for Steve Kerr crying about American gun laws, and his dad didn't even get killed in America. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so, come on, man. The reason why our country is struggling, because we have feckless men. Women ain't got nothing to do with this. It's the men. You're feckless. You don't have a spine. You're a coward. You don't stand up for nothing. You don't raise your children right. You're a beta. That's why we have problems in this country. Get it right. Or Brandon Tatum going to call you out. You listen to the Austin Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll get some callers.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is. Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. Let me get to a few callers. This is a caller, Craig. I think Craig has called in before. Craig from Chicago. Craig, welcome to the Austin Tatum Show. I want to hear your take on why the cops have blood on their hands and should turn in their badges.
Hey, Officer Tatum, thank you for taking my call. Just to give a little backdrop here to let you and your listeners know, I'm very pro-police. My daughter's a police officer. Fiance's a police officer. My cousin retired as a police lieutenant. My brother's a chaplain with the Cook County Sheriff's. We're a police family, okay? Those officers that showed up, with the exclusion of the Border Patrol agents, but those police that showed up there, and there were a lot of them there. Just some people say estimates of 40 or so people. They're over there putting on all kinds of gear. The ninja outfits, the knee pads, the eye goggles, the things, the big gun, everything. They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. They're a disgrace. They disgraced the uniform. They disgraced the office of police officer. They ought to turn in their badges, and they ought to basically be responsible to some degree because they should have went in there, and they should have went in there fast, in a hurry. They're dealing with a kid that's got his training from a video game, playing video games. The collective training that these officers would have had way outflanks this kid that was in the school, and they took him, and that's the way they acted. It's a disgrace.
Craig, that's why. Craig, I have a question for you. Are you sure that's the way it happened?
Well, everything that I've heard, that they were outside the place, and they set up a perimeter. They're out.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what they've been reporting during the day today. Oh, okay. And then it wasn't until the border agents came, and the border agents, there was a group of border agents that actually went in and took care of business when they got there, right when they got there. But the police that are from the area, and some from outside the areas that joined them, all they did was build a perimeter outside, and they were all marching around, and they got into all kinds of scuffles and that with the parents. The parents were screaming
Craig,
at them. And, yes.
Craig, were you yes. there?
Oh no, no, I wasn't. I just
so heard, so I just well, but let me just the reason I ask you these questions because you know I've spoken to people who were there, and the news media isn't covering the totality of what went on. From the things that I've heard from people that I know of, that they got into an exchange with this guy, and they were in a gunfight with this guy from the officers that got there first. There were some officers that responded from multiple agencies. They begin to set up a perimeter, but there were officers that were engaged with this suspect before, and he was barricading himself, and the tactical team had to show up.
Yeah, but I heard the footage. They've got the radio recording from what was going on between the parents and the police there, and it was the parents yelling and screaming at the police, "You got to go in, please go in." This is when the police were outside, and there was nothing going on. There was like 30 minutes or something, nothing going on. There was gunshots inside the school, and they were outside, and the parents were yelling. And I heard it. I heard it myself. One of the radio stations today was playing the exchange between the police and the parents. They were
okay, Craig.
They were. Go ahead.
No. Thank you for your call, Craig. I got your point. I want people to understand, too, and Craig as well, is that take a step back. I've been in these situations before. You may want to know the full story, because when I see these tactical officers there in a parking lot with the parents, to me, based on my training and experience and things that I've already been through in my life, is that these were perimeter officers, and they already had officers dealing with the situation at the door. I think people had to realize this with policing. There's tactics that are done, and there's multiple elements to a hostage negotiation situation or an active shooter situation. Every cop can't be sitting at the door. You have to have an area where you have containment, where you can take the kids that you rescue to a particular zone that's safe and guarded. If you just go to the door and you don't know how many shooters there are, or you're encountering this shooter, he's getting the best of you, kids are running out of the school, where are they going to go? Are they going to run in a circle? And if you're able to get kids out of the school that are injured, where are you going to take them? So police officers have to set up a particular zone that's a safe zone. So you can reunite children with their parents. If there's medical staff that need to come in, because medical staff cannot come into the scene if it's not secured. So they have to have a secured location. I can guarantee you almost with everything in my body that there is no way in the world that officers are in a parking lot dealing with parents and a guy's in the school, and there's nobody that have eyes on the front door of that school. There's nobody that have eyes on the suspect. Because if that was to occur, you would have to admit that somebody engaged with him first and then they ran away. And I don't think that's what happens. From all the accounts that I've had, is that they were in a shootout with these people initially. And they were losing because they're not equipped. And then they had to get a more equipped team to show up. And, you know, from all intents and purposes, it doesn't appear that it was easy to even gain access into the school. This is not the military. You can't just shoot at people that you cannot identify. And so I want people to take a little time back and process it before they blame these officers. Because when I see the videos of the police officers with the parents, and the parents are like, go do something, get in there. I mean, that's the same scenario that I've seen in Michael Brown's situation, the same scenario that I've seen at multiple shootings that have gone on, where the parents are rightfully upset. And the parents are going to feel like nothing is enough. And I don't blame them, especially when their children are in there. However, that does not tell the full story and the full spectrum about what's going on. I believe that there is a possibility that you are seeing videos from containment officers. And when I was on the SWAT team, you had SWAT operators who were, I would consider them to be the force unit. They were the entry team. They were the tactical unit. And then all the other SWAT operators had to set up a perimeter. So people would come to the perimeter and talk to us as if we're not even involved. And it's like, no, we're on the perimeter, ladies and gentlemen. They are the ones active. We're not the only officers. Same thing that happens when you pull a person over on traffic. Isn't there crime happening? Why are you pulling me over on traffic? You're like, hey, there's 70 other officers that are fighting crime right now. I'm a traffic unit, so I'm pulling you over on traffic. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. There can be a particular area and a perimeter set up, and also officers who are active on the scene. Let me just say this last thing. And I could be totally wrong. I'm open to that. But based on my training experience, I don't believe I'm wrong. There could very well be officers that were at the door, because they have to be at the door, for BORTAC and SWAT teams to come and be effective. You're listening to the Austin Tatum Show. I'm getting cut off on a break. I'll catch you after the break.
Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Call in at 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. If you want to be a part of the conversation, there's so much to talk about. I want to let this shooting go in Texas, but I feel like I have to debunk a few things. But I want to transition to parenting a little bit, too, because in the grand scheme of things, what's one of the solutions to the problem? Parenting. Now, we can't make people, but we can hold people accountable to the way they're raising their children. Me and one of my friends, Alain, we were talking about this the other night about parents. Listen, man, this is communist China in my house. You do not have a say at my house as a kid, and I'm the parent. I'm smarter than you. I've lived longer than you. I know what's best for you, and God has given me you for me to take care of you. And he didn't. If he wanted somebody else to raise you, he would have gave you to them. But he's given you to me, and it's my obligation to use the things that I've learned and testimony that I have in the trials and tribulations that I've been through to teach you how to be a better man. It is up to me to be an example, to love your mom and teach you how a man should love a woman for my daughter. Parents, stop being friends with your kids. They're not your friends. They are your children. You have an obligation. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it makes you feel bad, if it makes you sick to your stomach. You have an obligation to raise these children properly. When you become a parent, you don't just get another friend. You have an obligation to raise good humans. You have an obligation to do what's right. And I just get sick of seeing people just, they can't control their kids. I guarantee you, every single one of these mass shooters, the parents can't control their kids. Columbine, how your kids downstairs making bombs and plans to blow up and shoot up a school? What are you doing? Little Johnny in the basement too long. You need to go down there. Ain't no way in the world I'd be locked up in my room somewhere plotting something. My daddy will come in there like the SWAT team. What you in here doing? You too quiet. Don't be in here plotting. Keep your door open. This ain't your house. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we treat our kids like we're afraid to be mean to them? These little sensitive Sallies that we raise in a day. Some of these kids will never make it in the military. They want to quit and cry. Oh, the drill sergeant too mean to me. Grow a pair, man. That's what's wrong with our society today. We just have feckless men. I don't blame any of this on the women. It's feckless men. When men do not take their rightful position, the society crumbles. All you got to do is look at the Bible. The Bible says the head of the church is Christ. The head of man is Christ. The head of the house is the man. Let me say that again. The head of God, the head of Christ is God. The head of the church is Christ. And the head of the family is the man. There it go. And so I believe God ain't looking at the woman when everything come crumbling down in your household. He's going to come straight to the man. What are you doing to protect your family? What are you doing to raise your children right? What are you doing, sir? Adam and Eve in the garden eating apples. Who did God come to? Adam. What are you doing, Adam? I ain't worried about Eve. What are you doing, Adam? You have a responsibility to do the right thing. Am I seeing that correctly, or we got two anonymous callers calling in? Okay, perfect. So I will finish this conversation. I hope that you guys agree with me. And if you don't, it's fine. I mean, we live in America. We can agree to disagree, or maybe something you say could change my mind, but I just really think that men have to step their game up in parenting and doing what's right. You know, there's no more excuses. There's no more excuses because of the system. No more excuses because of baby mama drama. You better do your part. It is invaluable to be involved in your children's life. Don't allow watching the NBA games and doing your own thing to stop you from talking to your children. You need to have communication with them. You know, for people that don't know me, and as you guys will get to know me as I stay on the radio longer, but, you know, my oldest son does not live in my household primarily. He lived with his mom in Seattle. And these are conversations I'm going to have with him. I'm going to call him later, you know, and talk to him about this shooting thing. You know, I wanted to let it go because he had just finished his baseball game, and, you know, I didn't want to really talk to him about it and get him all scared. But as a father, I have to talk to him. That's my position. That's my job. And I really hope that people would look at their parenting responsibility the same. Raise these kids.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Back in the days, I used to be a Democrat, and then I woke up and realized they were whack. Welcome to the Also Tatum Show. Y'all like my rapping skills? But I want to talk about Barack Obama, because he is nuttier than a nutty bar. And I don't know how in the world anybody support Barack Obama anymore. I mean, he played out. He was supposed to be the great black hope, and he turned out to be a lame. Barack Obama was supposed to bring the country together. First black president, man, I was happy. I said, man, we got a black president. We in now. Oh, he the most divisive president I have ever seen in my life, other than Slow-Mo Joe, Geriatric Joe, Creepy, Sleepy Joe. Other than him, Barack Obama was the worst. What did he do for the black community? Absolutely nothing. And in the midst of stupidity, the most tone-deaf statement I ever heard in my life was Barack Obama tweeting the other day, and I retweeted it and it had a caption to it, and it's kind of like going viral on my channel. But Mr. McDumdum says, as we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take time to recognize the 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. First of all, nobody gives up, you know what, about George Floyd at this point. What are we talking about George Floyd for? Kids that lost their lives. George Floyd was a grown man, committing crimes his whole life, just about his whole adult life, resisting arrest, acting a fool, high on methamphetamine and fentanyl. Ended up under the knee of a bad police officer. I wrote that in my book. A bad police officer. And now 2 years later, he had a gold casket. Y'all acting like he was Jesus Christ. We picked the dumbest, the most low-life people that die in the black community and make them gods. They got Breonna Taylor head on like a gold mural of her head with black activists, as if she was a part of the black civil rights movement. She didn't do nothing but be knee deep in a dope game and end up getting killed because a boyfriend shot at the police. One of the police officers he shot was just on my show earlier, Sergeant Manley. George Floyd on drugs. Michael Brown, a 300-some-pound 18-year-old fighting police for a gun. We could go down the list, ladies and gentlemen. Why are we comparing these degenerate people who in some cases lost their lives unjustifiably? 99% of them were justified, but a few that lost their lives unjustified. Why are we comparing them to children that were innocent, sitting in the school, doing nothing, getting shot up? George Floyd had, think about this. Did the kids at the Texas school have anything to do with what happened to them? Could they avoid that at any cost? No, they couldn't have. Could George Floyd have avoided his death? Yes, he could have. It's called not committing crimes and being a crackhead, buying stuff with fake money. Poor behavior lead to negative results. Anyway, Ann, I got a short amount of time left in the segment, but Ann, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. What you got?
Hey, Officer Tatum. I always watch you on YouTube. The reason this country is in the shape it's in is the decades of this country continually turning our backs on God. We harden our hearts, our stiff-necked rebellion against him. He's given us plenty of time to turn back. He wants us to humble ourselves and turn back to him, but we won't. He's like, okay, fine. I've given you plenty of time.
Well, Ann, I'll tell you this. Thank you for the call. I don't want to end up having to cut you off because the break is coming up real soon. But, Ann, we are going to obey God. I don't know about these other fools, but we are going to hearken to what God has called us to do. We are going to raise our children. We are going to influence the people that are around us and give them the light of Jesus Christ in our actions from the spirit that's within us. We are going to do it. Now, these other people can play games all they want. They can do whatever they want, but we're going to do what's right. And thank you so much for the call. I think I got a little bit of time left. I understand Ann's sentiment. I want Ann to finish her thought because I thought I didn't have as much time. Ann, I want you to finish that thought. I know you heard what I had to say. I want you to finish that thought. I thought I didn't have enough time. I got 2 minutes. So what do you got?
Okay. All he wants, it's all he's ever wanted. He just wants this country to turn back to him, okay? Every parent, as a mother and a father, as a male and female, reduces a child or children. We are all going to be held accountable for the way we raised our kids. We're going to stand before God and answer to him. Okay, so what more does God need to do to get our attention? And we
Amen.
Need to stop being cowards.
Amen. Ann, thank you so much for the call. That's I wish that everybody would think like Ann. And I know the people that don't believe in God and stuff, and I get it. But when you think about it at the end of the day, when you have a purpose or you have something to look forward to, you have something that's bigger than yourself, you tend to do better. Humility is the beginning of success, is the beginning of influence, is the beginning of change. Pride comes before the fall. When you believe that you are so high and mighty and you're the smartest thing to ever touch planet Earth, that's when people get into big trouble. The wise man knows that he knows nothing at all. That's one of the truest statements that I've heard. You have to humble yourself. As a nation, we should humble ourselves. And we should pray. And we should believe God, that God can heal the brokenness that we face. Now, transitioning away from God.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.